everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life. Because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. That's true. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on the writing life, as well as video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can learn more about Author Magazine at authormagazine.org, and we are funded by the good people at the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. To learn more about the PNWA, you can go to pnwa.org. All right, well, I always say my guests are interesting, but today's is really interesting. It's Boo Trundle. Oh, she's done a lot. Done music, done visual arts, done some performing arts, and now she's published her first novel, or published it, I guess, about 9 months ago. The Daughtership. Well, we had a cool conversation. We geeked out a little bit about music, as I am wont to do. But, of course, we talked about writing and different kinds of stories and how she came to this story, how she came to it, just because it's done differently, and how she freed herself up. You got to do it. You got to free yourself up, people. So she was, like I mentioned, she's a writer. She's an artist. She's a performer whose work has appeared across various platforms and publications, including the Brooklyn Rail, McSweeney's Internet Tendency, and NPR's The Moth. She also released 3 albums of original music with Big Deal Records. And The Daughtership, that's her first novel. And that's what we talked about. And, oh, I had a good time talking to her. And I hope you have a good time listening to her. Here it is. All right, we got a freshly, well, not that freshly, but a little freshly minted novelist, Boo Trundle, on the show. Boo, how you doing?
I'm great. Good to be here.
I was thinking about your name. I was thinking about your name after reading your book, The Daughtership. And I don't like to get into how autobiographical fiction is, but I will say your name could have been a character's in that book, given the way characters are nicknamed. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah, there's a lot of autobiographical elements to the novel, and I'm not afraid to acknowledge that. So, it's the same. Like, my name in the book, the character's name is Catherine, but people call her Catchy, and her mother's name is Kate, and her grandmother's name is Kitty. And, you know, it's like this name that just gets passed around generation to generation. It's the same thing in my family. So I was an Elizabeth, but then I became a Boo. My mother is Betsy. My grandmother's Boo. Then I have nieces who are Liza. And, you know, so it's like, you know, the same thing, that mix and match. But Elizabeth is sort of, everybody wants that name for some apparent reason. I named my 2 kids names that were not at all
not a part of the family. You broke it. You broke the cycle.
Broke it. Yes, I did. I abandoned Elizabeth, but then my sister and brother both named their daughters Elizabeth. So I did not actually break it.
Oh my God. All right. Well, okay. So as I said, this is your first novel, The Daughtership.
Yes.
But yes, not your first artistic endeavor by any means. So let's back up a little bit. You've done music, visual art, performing art also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So talk to me. So did you know from a young age the arts was where you were headed, or did that creep up on you?
I think I knew. I didn't do, in high school, I was a cheerleader, and I, for a long time, I had this little trapper keeper. You remember those? It was like this little organizer, and it snapped shut and had all these little folders inside it. And I took it with me to college, and it was brand new. It was a big one. It was like super fancy. And I took it to college. And I remember on the first page of it, I think, you know, when I got to college, I wrote, I want to learn how to dance. I want to learn how to do visual art. I want to learn how to sing. You know, I think I had not been creative really up until I got to college, and it was just bubbling up inside me. So yes, I think it was a combination of wanting it and also needing it.
Why
wanting
you need
to be an artist? I just think expressing myself, getting thoughts and feelings out. I think I am a seeker and a question asker and someone who needs to poke under the surface of things. And I don't think, you know, if I hadn't been an artist, I would have had to be a philosopher or a therapist, right, or a psychologist, right, something like that. It's just a compulsion almost. Yeah.
But okay, it's always an interesting thing because a lot of writers and artists kind of know very young, but not all, obviously. This just sort of happened. They're drawing their pictures and they're writing their stories when they're little kids. But you
Oh,
were,
I was doing that. I mean, I was doing that when I was a little kid. I was constantly making things. I mean, just constantly drawing, making little weird things and writing. But then in like probably 7th grade or something, I got into cheerleading, which I can make an argument that it's creative, but an academic. So I really wanted to get good grades. And so yeah, I was not an artist in high school at all.
But you get into college, you say, that's it, I want to learn this stuff because you, and you recognize it's interesting that you said, I want to learn, I want to learn, I want to learn, as opposed to I want
Yeah.
to do. I'm not saying there's a difference, but you recognize I need to learn it. And
Yeah.
did you start learning to dance? And did you start learning to draw? And did you start learning every all the like, did you go and take classes
Yeah,
or find a
I
teacher?
did. I didn't really, yeah, I did. I did. I took visual art in college. I majored in English and writing and art. So I had like a double major. And so yeah, I dove right in. And then when I graduated, I worked at a dance studio in San Francisco and I studied Afro-Haitian dance. And yeah, I mean, I was very much experientially 100% immersed
Yeah. And so
in
that was
any
it.
way that I could be. And whatever I did for a job was just to support my art habit.
Right. You truly had just the day job.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And what did
If
your,
that, if
if that,
that.
yeah,
On a
well,
good
okay.
day, I had a day job. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you one of, I remember I, so I had a day job. Mine was working in restaurants. And I remember the day I could have gotten the job as the lead wine steward in my restaurant because I did get it become a sommelier just because I was in it so long. But I was
Yeah.
like, I remember not taking the position because I thought if I do that, that will satisfy enough of my ego and enough ambition, kind of that I will, it will just slow things down. And I remember being, even though it would have made more money, a little more money for me, I was very nice because there's a thing with a day job we all have to contend with, which is keeping it contained so that our energy can go towards the creative work, because sometimes the day job can just take over your life in a way, the day job, right?
I made some choices like that too, and there's sometimes I regret it, but
Yeah.
just because I was young and I could do a good job and I showed up and I did my jobs, and so I also often got offers for full-time work, and
Right.
I always said no because I needed the option to, I was back in my 20s, I was playing music, so I always needed the option to go on tour or go into the studio or just have these. And also it's not just that. I think no matter what your creative project, sometimes you just need like downtime. You need
Yeah.
open calendar, just a completely open calendar, so that you can percolate and procrastinate and eventually get to the work,
I
So.
totally agree. I don't, if I work 5 hours in a day, I get pretty grumpy. I don't like, I work in short shot and then I want to just chill out the rest of the time. And so, all right. So music was music then kind of your first professional art artistic life,
Yes,
would you say? And
yeah,
what were
definitely.
you doing? Were you singing? Were you playing the guitar? Were you playing the bongos? What were you doing?
Yeah, I see that guitar hanging nicely on the wall. It's a real, it really draws the eye over there. I'm talking about, yeah, for the listeners, I'm talking about the guitar on the
Have you
back
ever
of
seen my podcast, people?
his
There's a
office.
guitar hanging back there. I do play that thing, by the way. So, but it's also a good decoration.
Yeah,
Yes, I've been playing it
it's
for 2 years.
beautiful. What kind of guitar is
It is
it?
a inexpensive. I think it's called a Rav. My wife got it for me for Christmas 2 years ago because I've
Okay.
been waiting for all my life to play it. And she finally bought it for me, and I've been playing it every day since. So I've been very,
Oh, that's so great.
yeah. Well,
That's
I write
great.
music and I would play, I write on the piano, but I was like, basically, I'm playing rhythm guitar on the piano. I need to just get a guitar and do what I actually want to do. So it's been great. I've been loving it.
Congratulations. That's
Cool. Thank
awesome. It's so great to learn something new when you're,
you. At my advanced
not.
age, yes, it's good.
I
My
don't know how
teacher
old you
said,
are, but
for an
I
old.
can tell you're not 20. No offense.
No. All right. So, what were you playing? What were you playing?
Okay, speaking of being 20, I picked up the acoustic guitar when I was about 20, and I moved to New York. I lived in the East Village. It was the 90s, and it was a singer-songwriter, sort of Lilith Fair. And that's like when Sinead O'Connor's first record came out. And so I just was a kind of a punk folk singer and made 3 records, 4 records, Mostly, it was all for an indie label, really small budgets, but I did get someone else to pay for the recordings, which was a big deal. And I
That's
did,
nice.
and they distributed it, and I got the reviews and the interviews. It was really great. And it was my introduction to how to market yourself and how to show up even when no one else does. And just, and also, like, there was some really cool stuff that happened that I didn't even really give myself credit for. I think we're always like looking for, I wanted to be Madonna, so I didn't, not literally, but that's the kind of level of success that I, in my head, I thought I had to have. And so I didn't maybe have enough appreciation for what was actually happening around me and was looking over my shoulder like somebody who had more. But when I look back, it was just, whenever I talk about it, it was just glorious. It was a really glorious time.
And so you had confidence in your voice. And
You mean my singing voice
yeah,
or
your
my
singing
writing
voice.
voice?
Well, both, I guess. But I will say, because the thing I've had to develop is any confidence in my singing voice. I had none. I have some now, but for years, most of my life, I did not. So I always had admiration for people who were fearless in singing. And so
Yes,
you must have had some
I
confidence in that.
did. Yeah, I thought I had it. I mean, I don't know that I never thought I had the most amazing voice ever, but it worked. It worked.
Right,
It take it works enough.
you don't need it always for
No, it worked enough to get my,
unquote.
and I was, and also, this is something about me too. It's just how I am. I noticed my boyfriend is learning to play the guitar, and he picked it up probably right when you did. And first thing he wanted to do was learn all the notes and all the structure and all the chords, and he got a teacher. That is not what I did. I immediately, all I wanted to know was three chords so I could write a song. And then, so I just D, C, and G. And then as soon as I knew three chords, I was off to the races writing songs. And the other thing that he likes is learning songs that he likes, like learning to play covers. I've never wanted to play covers. I only wanted to write my own music. I only wanted to sing my own songs. And I get super bored if I have to learn. I took voice lessons once and I was so bored because I had to learn other people's songs. And I'm just, it's like a form of creative narcissism or something.
No,
I
you know
just
what? I am the
usually.
same way. I will play other people's stuff
Okay,
just
good.
because I will play other
Good.
people's stuff just because I like singing it, but I play it my own way. Like my teacher wants me to play it a certain way. I'm like, no. I'm just gonna, I don't want to learn exactly how to play Pink Floyd's Time. I just want to strum along to it. And so, but mostly I want to play my own stuff. Okay, so you're creative, so you wrote
So
songs.
we're the same that way.
I think so. I think so. In fact, mostly what
And
I
also
sing
what
is
I was gonna
my
say about it. Wait,
go ahead.
you finish your thought and then I'll say
Well, I was
what I
going
was
to say,
gonna say.
mostly what I'm singing is something I wrote. I almost don't even sing other people's songs anymore. It's ridiculous. I just sing my own stuff. So
That's
anyway.
fine. They already did it. They already wrote
Yeah,
it. They
they
already sung
did. That's
it.
right.
Chances are you will not do it better. That is my
No,
opinion,
probably not.
when it comes to covers. So why not write something new? And then what I was going to say also is that because I immediately started writing my own songs, I always wrote music in my own range. So yes, I did have confidence in my voice because I could sing everything I wrote because I wrote it.
Okay, so all
Like
right.
I tried to do Kate Bush at a karaoke party a couple weeks ago, thinking I could do this, and it was a bad choice because she's very challenging. But yeah, no, better to stick to my own songs.
I know. I learned like I could sing, except when he screwed around. David Bowie's range was sort of my range, except when he went, because he could
Yeah,
go, but
he
every once
can
in a while I
go.
could land, which was nice, because I liked his stuff. All right. All right. Music. I could just sit here and talk to you about music, but we talk about books here, and you've got a book out. And so, all right. So, at some point, you did a lot of stuff. You did lovely paintings on your website. I guess they're like blogs, but you post your own. At least this is your own visual work.
Yeah, I did. I did a lot of that as my own. Yeah, most of it.
But at some point in this journey, you got it into your head that you were going to write a book. Now, was there short form before this? Was there essays, blogs, poems, like what before the book, what was there in terms of writing besides songs?
Well, The Daughtership is my fourth novel that I've
Wait, what?
written.
Oh, okay. All right.
But it's no, but
My apologies,
it's
everybody.
okay.
Oh,
It's the first published book, so there,
okay. I
it's the
feel better
first one
now.
that's first book that made it to the big time. It's the first book that got an ISBN number. But yeah, I wrote my first novel in college, and when I moved to New York when I was 22, I tried to get it published. I got tried to get an agent, went through the
The
whole
thing,
thing. Wrote another one in around 2000, wrote another one, finished around 2010. So, this is the fourth one, and I'm really, so yeah, I really have stuck with it, and it's very gratifying to have a book. It's
Yeah, it is.
wonderful.
All right. So book writing was always, it was always, these were on, the three others were novels. And so this was something that was always stewing around in you. Were you like always working on a book, or would you work on a book, put it down, and then do your other stuff and then get another idea? How was that? Were you, was it a
I'm
constant
always
thing?
working on a book. Yeah,
Always
always.
working on a
Like
book. Okay.
always working on a book. And they take me a really long time, and it's right. I was thinking about today, like I probably should be hustling my bustle to get another book out there. Part of marketing your first book is publishing your second.
Yeah, it's true.
But my process is slow and I have to honor my process. So, I was thinking about that today. Just, if I start stressing myself out, it won't be good,
No, you're
so I gotta
wise to
just,
do that.
but I've never had writer's block and I'm always writing a book. I always have a project going, that gets me up in the morning.
Yeah.
Because really I don't, that we were talking about day jobs. I'm fine to have a day job, but that doesn't give me a sense of purpose.
Right.
I don't thrive unless I have some, obsessive creative, a muse that calls to me like, get up, get
Yeah.
up, you gotta. And sometimes it's sometimes like today, actually, I was thinking, I haven't really been, I was on vacation and I got back and I haven't really got back into my writing yet, but I feel a little bit stressed and I feel like I need to do something and I might just go paint something and then maybe I'll get to the writing tomorrow, so
Right.
I don't kill myself over it.
I'll tell you, once you've been allowed yourself to invest in a creative project, whether it's a book or a painting or a song or a play or a movie, I think you can't go back to, I don't think you can go back to living life without it. I think it is too satisfying experience, too good a use of your focus that it's pretty hard to replicate in just a job. I don't think, you know, it as
Well, it depends
necessary
on
to
who
make.
you are. I think it depends on who you are.
Yeah, but if you really good, if you're bit, man, it's pretty hard to re replicate. And I get pretty grumpy if I don't have a thing to sink my teeth into, because sometimes I don't, and
So
I
do
don't,
I.
you know, and I don't, sometimes I
So
just
do I.
don't. It's a, you know, I can't, and I can't manufacture it, you know, if it's not.
I get grumpy too. And I don't even, I took a big, like I said, I was just on vacation and I took a big Ziploc, I'm also really into supplies, so I got these big Ziploc bags. They're huge. They're very exciting to me, which I know
Yeah.
most people wouldn't get excited about a Ziploc bag, but it's kind of like a little tote bag, but it's actually
Yeah.
a Ziploc bag, and just full of my writing and things to look at and pens. And I don't want to be away from that, even when I'm on vacation. I don't need a
No.
vacation. I love it.
Oh,
So.
right. That's the thing. It's not, I mean, it's work, but it's like, I don't, you know, people say, let's go on vacation. I'm like, man, I really don't want to stop doing what I'm doing. Like, I'd have no desire not to
No,
do it.
I know, agree. And then also, if you take 6 days and you carve it out of like your busy life, like that's time, really good time to be working on a project, not like
Exactly.
sitting on the beach.
All
Yeah, I
right. All
agree. Yeah.
right. So The Daughtership, so first published novel, and congratulations, by the way,
Thank you.
congratulations, ambitious novel. It does not surprise me it took you a while to write. You had, I'm not going to get into it, but you multiple perspectives, and the way it's told is, I know, I felt like you had to find it. It just felt like something that didn't come out the first time, that it was sort of evolved. Is that fair?
Yes, that is fair.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So that it just,
it
I was like,
happened to be
you
what
know,
happened.
the only thing that I go through when I read people's books, because I'm a writer myself, and I just know, and I'm like, oh God, it hurts me to read this, how much work it must have taken her to find this. Because I just know writers, I'm not saying it doesn't read well, it read great, but I just can tell when books didn't just pop out, that had to be found and found and
Yeah.
found and found. And I could feel hours
Definitely,
of
definitely.
rewriting.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Found and found and found and found. And that's what's happening with my new book too. And that's how
Yeah.
I write. And I'm okay with that, because I
Yeah.
think the way I feel about it is that there are a lot of books out there, and there are lots of different ways to tell a story, and there's a lot of different ways to experience a story as a reader. And I guess I am trying to do something different,
Yeah.
that's
Well, you
hoping to
did.
know.
You succeeded in that.
Yeah.
You said, no, you did. And it's really cool. I really enjoyed it from page one. So good on you. I mean,
Thank you.
for me. But, so you had written and tried to publish three others. Did you feel there was anything different about this one as you were working on it? Did it have a different giddy
Oh
up
yeah,
to
it's
it?
really different. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
really
How so?
different. Yeah.
Also, just in terms
Well,
of how you worked on it, like, did you feel differently about it, or was it just structurally different? Like, what?
everything, every
Everything.
single thing. Yeah, every
Okay.
single
All
thing,
right.
every single. Yeah, I mean, I was doing. I sort of went back to school. My son was, he's now 17. When he got, when he, I took, I stopped working when my daughter was born, and I was just, full on stay at home mom. And then when my son was in, went to full time nursery school or full time kindergarten,
Right.
I decided, to return wholeheartedly to my writing. I'd been doing it all along, but, it was
Right.
hard to
It's
really
harder.
get, it
Yeah.
was harder. So I went back to school. I took continuing ed classes in the city at night at the new school. And I mean, they have an incredible fiction program, and I was studying with an incredible teacher. And I just treated myself almost like a newcomer starting over. And
Oh.
I took memoir workshops, and I took poetry workshops. And in those workshops, I'd always been a fiction writer. And it's like, even when I was in college, I was always in the fiction workshops, and I
Right.
studied with the fiction teachers. And I sort of put down my flag in the sand as I write fiction. And so fiction writing, it became very goal-oriented, beginning, middle, end. This is what exposition is, dialogue, plot. It just became, I got kind of trapped in the craft of fiction. And I switched over to these crazy poetry workshops and these memoir workshops where we were playing a lot of games. We were doing research into our own lives.
Yeah.
Memoir writers will go back and look at family photos. They'll go back and read newspaper articles about family members. They'll do research into the place where they lived,
It's interesting. That's what I write, and I never do
Oh, you
any.
write memoir?
That's now it's what I do. I used to write fiction, but this is what I do now, and I actually never do that. But maybe I'll start. I hadn't even thought of that.
Well, maybe. Well, I mean, that was, I wouldn't have thought of it either, but I went into workshops,
Right? That's
even though I'd
weird.
been writing and trying to get books published for 20 years, I went
Yeah.
back and was a beginner, and I did everything I was told. We drew maps,
Oh.
and that's how the whole submarine came about, was from drawing a map. And also, I found, when I was looking through my old stuff, I found a story I'd written in like third grade, and it was a story about a giant who lived on a mountain inside a submarine. And that's where the submarine came from. So,
Right.
these techniques really blew open my writing, really, and I think just blew open my voice. And I didn't have any, and I also had already tried to get three novels published and didn't. And so I didn't think this book was going to get published. That's
Right.
not why I wrote it. I didn't have a track record that would tell me, yeah, this book's going to get published. So I was just completely wildly creative, and I did it for my own pleasure. And I think that's why the book got published, because there is a lot of experimentation and creativity and excitement in the book. I think it's an adventure to read it,
Yeah.
and even though it's non-traditional, and I think that I had an adventure writing it, and that's why, that's what's really different,
I like a lot about what you said. First of all, that you're kind of your low expectations, or no, you weren't thinking exclusively about publication. You were thinking about having fun. You were thinking about what's most interesting. Let's break it open. Let's be as free. I think it's the way we got to work. And it's so hard because there's writing. We get focused on what'll sell, what'll sell, what'll sell, what is, and it, and often that actually prevents us from writing the thing. It does sell. We're not being authentic. We're not exciting ourselves, really.
Yeah, and then also, I think with writing, unlike drawing or painting, I mean, I guess people, kids take art in school, and but the focus on writing is obviously part of the academic program, and we get taught these rules about writing and these ways of writing, and they're not, you don't have to follow those rules, and it
No.
doesn't have to be hard to write. It can be absolutely fun. And we put those rules on ourselves, and people, like you said, you read my book, and I know you're a writer, so you've read a lot of books and you know how to read. So you figured out how to read my book. Even though
Right.
my book kind of comes out of the gates, you're like, what am I reading? This is not a
Right.
normal reading experience, but you know how to read, and the book teaches you The book shows you where to go next, and so we have such a limited sort of idea of what we can understand when we're reading. So that's again, that's something I discovered in the writing of this book that I could bend those rules. And now in my new book, I'm just like completely exploding those rules.
Oh
So
no,
hopefully it'll go
you're gonna
like
be,
that.
it's gonna be Finnegan's Wake for you.
No, I've
Not
never
that.
even read. I mean, the feedback I've gotten on The Daughtership is that it's very readable and people read it in
Totally.
like
Oh, it's
2 days.
totally read.
Yeah. So I'm not headed towards the Finnegan's Wake. It's more about using structure and plot and character, all the tools. I'm not throwing any of them out the window. I'm still using them, but using them a little bit differently. And the storytelling happening sort of under the surface, where you think one thing's happening, but something
Right.
else is happening.
Right.
So it's not going to be like, I feel like with Finnegan's Wake and with a lot of experimental fiction, it's all about the language, and you're just
Yeah.
like the writer's just kind of like having fun with language at the reader's expense. I would never
It
commit that crime.
can Yeah, it's true. It's interestingly, the book is very like so I'm not going to try to explain it to you. Got to read it, people. It's the only way really
Yeah.
to do it. But you move around in time and space and perspective. But the way each portion or chapter, I'll call it, or section is written is very straightforward, very, very, very direct, and really just very narrative, straight narrative. It's just that it's broken up in pieces. So you got to just kind of get with it. But once you do, and it's a lot of fun. So good on you. Now, one of the things you
Thank
do
you.
is you talk to a little bit, we'll get into just a little bit, which is healing through creativity is some of the sort of, is that some work you've done? Is that some like workshops you've led? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Wait, so where are you talking about in context of the daughtership or just completely detached from the
Just
daughtership?
detached. That's something I noticed in your biography and people sent me, and I just wondered where you, what your thoughts on that were and where, how you've practiced it and how you share it.
Well, I mean, if you talk about, you can go all the way back to the first question you asked me, which was, did you know you were an artist, or did you become an artist later? When I first picked up the guitar, for example, a friend of mine in college was a drummer, and we used to share, and he was in like, sort of a hard driving, he wore a leather jacket, and he banged the hell out of those drums. And
Right.
I also wore a leather jacket and, had a lot of pent up sort of emotional stuff. I think when you're 19 and you first leave home, like stuff can really catch up with you. And it was
Oh,
catching
yeah.
up with me. And he said, "Why don't you play the guitar? Get some of that anger out on your guitar." And so, that is the reason I bought my first guitar. So that's just in one example. And then in my 20s, when I was playing music, I was very, it was angry music. Absolutely. I didn't know I was angry.
Right.
I didn't really have any feelings for, I started getting in touch with my feelings only when I stopped drinking, which was when I was like 25. So I guess anybody who looked at my music or my writing could say, "Oh, you're kind of messed up and you seem angry." But that's not how I felt. I just,
Yeah.
that's how my music sounded. So then when I stopped drinking and I got into therapy when I was 25 and I started technically doing healing stuff, my anger kind of, oh, did you see that?
I don't know how to, I don't, it doesn't ever work on mine.
What
So
happened?
we're
So
on
I'm
Zoom, and occasionally on Zoom,
Yeah,
if you make certain images, you'll get reactions. I don't do it, but you can get confetti or sparkle. Anyway, she got some confetti.
for the
For
listeners,
the
yeah,
listeners,
I just
yeah.
had, I looked up and there was confetti
Yeah, I don't
everywhere.
know
It was
how she got it,
hilarious.
but she got
It was something to do
it.
with
Your
healing through
quote,
your creativity.
you're
Yeah,
healing. So you're
creativity.
going to therapy, you're learning about
So
healing.
once I started like sort of I started therapy, I got sober, I wasn't drinking, and then suddenly, I didn't really want to play music as much anymore and I wanted to write, so I think that what happened a little bit was that, just as an example of this is just to answer your question, I think that I was using the music as a vehicle for expressing a lot of dark, unexpressed anger and confusion, and it came out in all my music, and my music was pretty howly and loud and intense. And then when I actually started to kind of soothe that inner demon and heal that darkness, I don't really want to get up on stage and scream and yell with my guitar anymore. I really wanted to write poems and fiction. So that's when I nicely put my guitar to the side for a while. Well, for a long while, it turned out, and started writing fiction. So in that
How
sense, not
interesting.
only does the medium I'm using tap into whatever needs to be tapped into, but also I may shift my attention to a different medium when my healing takes a different turn. And that happened with the daughtership 100%.
That's great. Well, I totally couldn't agree more. I think creativity is, I think it gets us in touch with what we want. We spend our life wanting to be in touch with, and I think being conscious about. You know, it's interesting. When I was writing fiction, I really wanted to write about heartbreak. Like that was the because I'd had an experience of being heartbroken, and it was profound. But then I ended up marrying the person eventually, and still married to her. And it was very hard for me to write about heartbreak because I knew there was another part of that story. So I kept trying to write that, but I actually wasn't interested in it anymore because I had found a different. So it was a took me a long time to shift off of it. It reminds me a little bit with you and the anger when you're not angry anymore. You've got to find a new intention for your work. Like, well, what do I want? Because anger can, boy, that can, you can do a lot with anger. You can create an awful lot from it because it's so strong and so fast and so needs to come out. Interesting stuff. Boo Trundle. Boo Trundle. It was great to meet you. It was great to chat with you. The book is The Daughtership.
Not to be confused with the
Now you see, not the mothership,
mothership.
but the daughtership. There's some double, triple play on words and all that, but you all can find out about that when you read the book. It's where all fine books are sold. I'm not quite done with you, though, Boo. I have one more question. We've sort of been dancing
Okay.
around it, but let's get specific. If writing, specifically writing on the page, has taught you anything just about you, about life, it's taught you what?
It's taught me that there is so much more going on than what meets the eye, and that my outward-facing self, and my inner self can be running on parallel tracks and not always working as a team. And so for me, writing is a way to anchor that external world and pin it into the internal world, and it goes both ways, and it just makes life infinitely more interesting and also livable.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Boo, it was great to meet you. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you, Bill.
Internal and external. Got to blend the two, right? What is writing? Stuff that starts inside of you, then goes onto the page. Share it with others. Great conversation. I want to thank my friend RJ Jeffries, my good producer. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Yes, I do. I want to thank you. So until next time, you know, think about what you want to share with the world. Think about what you're interested in. Think about what you love. And then go find it and do it.